Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Nevonier. In this hour, horror. Later on, we hear Peter Lorre on Inner Sanctum, but right now it's Arch Obler's Lights Out. This episode first aired on CBS on May 18, 1943, called The Spider.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
And now to our lights-out story of The Spider. The jungles of the upper Amazon.
Dixie! Hey, Dixie!
You don't have to shout. I hear you.
Hey, Dixie, look. Hey, look at this. Look at this one. Look at it, I tell you.
Another butterfly.
Yeah, look at these wings. Look at them.
Better if it had wings big as an airplane to take us out of this hellhole.
I bet I'll get 10 francs for this one.
If we get out of the jungle alive.
Oh, I'll get out.
Aye. You mean we? You wouldn't leave me here?
Don't worry, Dixie. You get in this with me and you'll get out of it with me. It's good to sit down.
Until the ants begin to eat you.
I'll cut it out, will you? Can't you do anything but sing the blues?
I suppose I should be happy. Should sing a song because the sun is burning me up, because the insects bite me, because I'm here in this devil's hole half the world away from my home.
Cut it out. If I like it any better than you do, it's our only chance, see? Catching these bugs is our only chance to get the dough and get out of here.
But the sun...
You think the sun's any colder working in the mines? You think the sun's any colder sitting out there on the beach tearing your heart out every time you see a boat heading back? Tell you, Dixie, the jungle's the only chance we have to get out of here, and by the devil, I'm taking it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I know it's as you say. Our only chance.
Sure it is. Now snap out of it. Another couple of days like this one, and we'll have caught enough of these bugs to head back to the coast.
But will we get through?
Listen, Dixie, when I say I'm getting out of here, I'm getting out.
But the natives say...
Cut it out, I tell you. Nothing's going to stop me.
But if we do get out, how do we know that Mr. Renap will buy the butterflies?
Listen, he said he would, didn't he?
Oh, what a man says.
Yeah? Well, why shouldn't he buy them? Gives us a franc apiece and then sells them all over the world for plenty of dough.
But who would waste money on such things?
Don't you know nothing. Schools, museums, they pay plenty of dough for these jungle butterflies.
But why should anybody...
Oh, forget it, I tell you. Yeah, hot enough without you shooting your mouth up all over the time. Now, lay still, I tell you, and forget it.
All right. I'll forget it. Joe.
Huh?
I seen you laugh to yourself. Why do you laugh?
I was just thinking.
What?
I was thinking what you said before about a butterfly with wings like an aeroplane.
Yeah?
Funny, ain't it? Two big guys like you and me. Guys that shot the works from arson and murder. Both of us depended on what? To get us out of the jungle and back to where we came from. Handful of blue and red and purple butterflies.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Funny, ain't it? If anybody told me a couple of years ago I'd be chasing bugs, I'd have slugged them. The bugs are all the chance I got now.
That's right.
You know, it's a funny thing. When I was a kid, I used to chase butterflies, too. Dinky little white ones all around the empty lot and back of the... What's the matter with you, Dixie? What are you staring at?
You didn't see it?
You see what? What is there to see but a... Natives?
No.
Then what? Then what?
From behind that tree. He looked out at me.
He? What are you talking about? Who looked out at you?
A spider. And I think it was as large as a dog. Joe. Not sleeping?
No.
I can't sleep either.
Oh, it's so hot. Gee, it used to get nice and cool about this time of night where I used to live.
Joe. Yeah, what's the matter? Did I see it?
You're starting that again.
But I must have seen it. I must have seen it. It was all so clear.
Look, I tell you, it was nothing but a monkey hanging there. Spider.
But I saw...
Go on, the heat's frying your brains. Go on to sleep.
Yeah. Sleep. I'll try.
Okay. Blasted mosquito got it under the netting.
You get it?
Oh, no. I got it.
Another one?
Hole in the netting. That's what's the matter. Might as well get up and fix it. Blasted stuff is falling apart with mildew.
Joe!
What do you want?
Don't go too close to the edge of that clearing.
What are you talking about? I'm just going to fix the netting so that...
Joe, what? Joe, what is it? Joe!
Okay.
Yeah, but you screamed.
Yeah.
Well?
I saw it, too. I was sitting at the edge of the clearing in the moonlight. Yeah. Spiders. Big as a dog. Tighter. Pull the line tighter. Yeah, that does it. Okay, come on, out of the tree now.
All right.
Now watch yourself. Don't shake that tree too much. That trap door's set on a hair trigger.
Yeah. Now it's done.
Yeah. That cage ain't strong enough to hold it. You can run a knife through me.
But what if it doesn't come here again?
It was here by the tree the last two nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, but what...
So it'll do it again. Only this time it's going to stay by the tree.
But what if the trap fails?
Don't start that again. I tell you, one jerk of the spine from where we're sitting, the whole cage will fall right on him. Then, my friend, our troubles are all over.
I tell you, Joe, I'm afraid.
Afraid of what? Getting out of here and getting someplace where we can live like men? You afraid of making money?
Money?
Listen, for a spider that big, I could get enough cash to float home with silk shirts on our back. Think of it. A spider that big? We'll clean up with it.
No, Joe, no. I say, let's get away from here.
Oh, scared you, Dixie, huh? Well, it don't me. I tell you, this blasted jungle has spit out a gold mine for us.
But the trap. Are you sure of it, Joe?
Sure, I'm sure. We'll catch him. And it won't be butterflies paying our ship fare home, Dixie. It'll be the biggest spider in the world. That's all right, huh, Dixie?
But are you sure of the trap, Joe?
Yeah, it went strong tonight.
Yeah.
I wonder what time it is.
Stars are gone.
Getting on morning.
Yeah.
It was always earlier before.
Trap frightened them away.
What do spiders know about traps?
You said yourself they're clever.
Now be a fool.
But you said yourself...
Just talking, that's all.
There's a fear in me. Cold and sharp as if...
Wait.
Huh?
The edge of the clearing.
It's coming.
Stay quiet.
Joe, let him go.
Quiet or I'll kill you.
Don't pull a trap.
Quiet.
It's looking at us.
Another step and it'll be right under the... There. I got it. Oh, look at it, Dixie. Trap. And it's mine. The biggest spider in creation. I'll get all the money I need. Well, Dixie, what's the matter with you? Come on, why don't you say something?
Trapped. And it doesn't move. Just looks at us. Joe.
Eh?
How many days
seen.
Well, say it. Since we caught the big fella?
Three. Yeah, 3 days.
You haven't fed
it? You're telling me.
Why do you...
Because I'm playing it smart. Pretty soon that thing won't be caring much about anything. Then I'm going to slip the bottom of that cage and off we go.
They say such creatures can live for a long time without eating.
Not when they're that size. I figure that sitting out there in that sun all day, well, in about a week, it won't care much what we do with it.
Joe?
Yeah?
How could such a creature be?
What do you mean, how could it be? You're looking at it, ain't you?
But such a spider.
It's there. That's all that means anything to me.
But such a giant creature.
That's it. It's a giant, ain't it? Well, you've seen giant human beings in circuses, haven't you? Well, they just happen, that's all. That's the way this spider happened.
So black.
Yeah. The midnight special, ain't he? Those big, hairy legs.
Once I saw an octopus.
Huh?
Devilfish.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And this one looks like a dry land devilfish, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, will that make a billboard at a circus sideshow? Will we clean up?
The legs, the strength they must have.
Mm-hmm, not when I get through with them.
Look at it, Joe, be honest.
Huh?
Isn't there a strange fascination when you look at it closely?
What are you talking about?
Its eyes.
Well?
How they shine.
So what?
As if there was the thought behind them.
You starting that again?
All these 3 days it sits there so quietly. Its eyes like burning flames just watching.
Cut it out.
If it is thinking, I'm afraid of what it is thinking.
I think it's spider. Yeah, plenty of hand. Yeah, Dixie couldn't take it anymore. He's off looking for a cool spot. But me, I didn't want to leave you alone, Spider. I didn't want to leave my meal ticket. You're going to be a big-time attraction on the boardwalk in some big-time circus, Spider. Yeah. Yeah, you're a screwy-looking thing, Spider. They won't believe you until they see it. The fella is going to cost them plenty before they do see it. Hey, Spider. Why don't you move? Spider. You're not dead. Get a stick. Spider. Bless you, you're not dead. You can't be dead. It's been only a week since. You can't be dead. You're my chance. You can't be dead. Curled up with your legs over you. Bless you, move. Reach in and see. Let go. Let go of me. You bastard devil. You fool me. Let go. Let go of my arm. Get away. Let go. Dixie. The spider. Come on, Dixie.
Joe, where are you? Joe? All the sound suddenly so quiet. Joe? Where's the man? He said he'd be here. He said... Buddy, what? Dried up. What? Joe, come quickly. I found a body. Joe, come quickly. Must see who? Joe, it's you. Joe, how did this... What? The spider. But how... Gone from the cage. And what he did to you, Joe. It might come back. Why do I stand here? It might come back. Gotta get out. Yeah, get things together. Butterflies, take boxes and get out before... Something move behind that tree. No, won't get me. Won't get me. Oh, my foot twisted. Must have broken my... No, Got to get away. Crawl. Got to get away. Got to get away. Got to get away. Never get me now, that devil thing. I did get away. I crawled miles. I did get away. Clear. Someone to help me. Crawled to the house. Someone to help me. So dark. Oh. Tired. No strength to call out. Crawl and find someone to help me, and I'll be free. Free. Touch something. What? A body. Who? Joe. Joe, you, but how? What? Back in the camp. I'm back in the camp. Crawled all night in the circle back in the camp. Where... No. Get out. Get out before it. Oh, my leg. No, no, no. Can't crawl anymore. That sound. What? Behind me. It's behind me waiting to jump on my back. No, don't! Nothing. Isn't there? If I could only crawl again, if I could only get away before... The moon coming out bright. Now I'll see. I'll see what... Not here. Only you, Joe. Empty flesh over there in the moonlight.
Blast you to the devil, Joe. You brought me here. You were right to you die, but that spider won't get me, not me. It's gone now. My leg, it will get better. I will get away. Yes, I will. I...
Spider, come back. Oh, no. No, no.
No, 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 no closer. No closer, no, no.
Come back. Well, what? On Joe. Crawling over him. But Joe is dead. Why does he... What is the spider going to... Spinning a web over him. Turning him around and around like a fly. Covering him with that thick silk. Spinning a web of silk over Joe. Sleep? Sun. Morning. Morning, it is morning. I'm alive. I'm alive. Someone coming. Get a hide. Who? So heavy a wolf, it can't be that devil spider. It must be one of the savages. They'll help me. See who? Joe. It is Joe alive. Joe. Joe, I'm here. Joe, I'm here. Wait for me. Joe, why do you stand there? I must have had a dream. All that happened, yes, a dream. Last night. Oh, it's such a funny nightmare to tell you. Joe, why do you just stand there? Why do you just look at me? Your eyes, the sun shines in them. They hurt me. Don't look at me like that, Joe. Your eyes so dark, so big. I say, closer, closer, my friend, come closer. I have such a happy thing to tell you, closer. I hear you. I like what your eyes are singing to me, Joe. Yes, I come closer. You keep telling me that happy thing. Yeah. I'm close to you now, Joe. Tell me what your eyes
Your hand. Why do you grab my arm? Your other hand, my other arm. Why do your fingers hold my arm so tight they hurt me? Another arm on my shoulder. Joe, another arm holding my neck. Joe, so many arms, how can it be? Joe, it is you. I see your face, but your eyes bigger and bigger. Sun so strong in my head, burning my head inside. Is that why I see such crazy things, Joe? Joe, why don't you say something? Your eyes bigger and bigger, burning into my head. Now your face is changing. Joe, it is you. Then why doesn't your face... Joe, that sound, your face, your arms... Spider. You are the spider. The spider. Your eyes fooled me, didn't they? Made me think I was seeing Joe, but all the time it was you, Mr. Spider. They're wonderful eyes you have, Mr. Spider. I'm not afraid anymore. Isn't that a joke? Your black arms pull me close. I see the poison dripping from your fangs. But I'm not afraid. It's very funny. When the worst thing really happens, you're not afraid. I'm not afraid. Your fangs. Closer. Closer. I'm not afraid. Right deep. Right deep.
Lights Out on Tuned to Yesterday from May 18th, 1943 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday with your host Mark Livonier. Now time for Inner Sanctum, starring movie actor Peter Lorre, who in the previous year of this broadcast was co-starring in Casablanca and The Boogeyman Will Get You. This episode called Death is a Joker from June 10, 1944 on CBS.
The Mystery Playhouse, a rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. Now, come in, won't you? This is your host, Raymond, again, disturbing the peace.
Say, have you ever had the screaming meanies?
Did you ever get an attack of the yelling and wailing jitters?
You walk in your sleep? You ever wake in the middle of the night shrieking at the top of your lungs? Oh, you do?
Well, you must be an awfully hard person to live with. Well, friends, it's time for our story to begin. From this point on, forget everything pleasant. Get a finger ready to chew on, turn the lights down low, and listen to Peter Lorre tell you the blood-curdling tale, Death is a Joker. Come with me to the criminal court building. A tense hush falls upon the spectators as Charles Luther takes the stand.
Gentlemen of the jury, I'm accused of murder. I'm an actor, a comedian. Look at my face. Ugly, huh? Yes, so ugly that whoever looks at it laughs. I'm not telling you this to win sympathy for myself. I tell you this because it is important to your understanding. The strange event that brought me to this courtroom today to plead for my life. Shortly before midnight of November 28th, I went to the apartment of my friend Robert Langwell, the famous actor and matinee artist.
Charles, well, this is a surprise. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
Would you like a drink?
No, don't bother. I don't want anything.
No? Well, here, may I take your thing? Oh, excuse me. Hello. Oh, George. Yes, I have the money for you. You'll be up? When? 20 minutes?
Yes. Goodbye. George Galvin. You know him, Charles?
Yes.
Rotten actor. But an excellent poker player.
So I've heard. Robert. Robert, before leaving the theater tonight, someone told me that you and Julie Winthrop are going to be married. Is it true?
Yes, we'll be married in 2 weeks, right after my wife gets a decree in Reno.
You must not marry Julie.
Not marry Julie? Well, who are you to tell me what I can do?
I know Julie well enough. I also know you. That's why you must not marry her.
Charles, it might be better for you to mind your own business. Julie and I are in love with each other.
No, you're not. She's fascinated by your good looks. She's impressed by your fame, but she does not love you.
Now, look here. We may be old friends, but I've stood all I'm going to. Wait a moment. I get it now. You're in love with her yourself.
I'm in love with Julie. No, we are just friends.
Friends? You're madly in love with her. That's why you came here tonight, isn't it?
No.
Friends.
What? You're laughing.
You, in love with a girl like Julie.
Why should my love make you laugh?
Oh, so you admit it, huh?
All right, I do. Why is it so funny?
Do you think she'd have you? You, a clown, ugly, clumsy. You in love with Julie?
And why not? Why not?
You!
Stop you laughing. Stop it.
Can I? Look at yourself. Charles, let go of me.
No.
You're choking. Let go.
A joke, huh?
Charles.
A joke. Laugh. Go ahead. Laugh now. Laugh. Robert. Robert. I didn't mean it. Robert. Lord, what have I done? I rushed out of his apartment, trembling. I turned my coat collar up to hide my face. The streets were crowded with people coming from the late movies and restaurants. I tried to make myself act naturally, but it was impossible. Everyone I saw, every pair of eyes that looked at me, seemed to accuse me of my crime. I stopped, waited for the light to change.
Paper, mister. Morning paper. Read about the Reynolds execution.
Here, let me have one.
There you are.
I didn't know Reynolds was to be executed tonight.
Well, they burned him. Well, he deserved it, murdering his friend like he did. Oh, wait a minute, mister. You forgot your chain.
Oh, never mind, never mind. I went to my apartment and I looked at the newspaper I'd bought. There was a photograph of Reynolds on the first page. In his face, I saw my future. The shattered hopes, the torture of the trial, the horrible, nerve-wracking experience of waiting for death. I flung the paper away. I went to the window. I opened it. I looked down 17 stories to the ground. How tiny people look. The automobile lights moved like so many fireflies. I climbed out on the edge. I braced my arms. I took a deep breath. One last look. I closed my eyes and... doorbell rang. I hesitated a moment. I decided to answer it. I closed the window, went to the door.
Hello, Charles.
Julie.
Why did you rush away from the theater tonight? I was anxious to talk to you.
Talk to me about what?
I need your advice, Charles.
What's wrong?
Well, it's Robert.
What happened?
Well, nothing happened. It's just that I'm not sure I love him.
Not sure?
Yes, when I'm with him, everything seems all right. He's handsome and charming, but when I'm alone, I begin to wonder. And to doubt.
Why?
Can't you guess why?
Guess? You left someone else?
Yes.
Well, who is it?
You.
Me?
Yes, that's what I came here to tell you. That's why I don't want to marry him.
Me?
Yes, I would have told you before, but I was so afraid of making a fool of myself. Me? You didn't seem to care.
I didn't care. Julie, this is crazy. I loved you from the moment I saw you.
You loved me?
Yes.
But, darling, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you? How could I? You're so young. You're so beautiful. And I, look at me. Ugly, clumsy. How could I speak to you?
Fools we both were. How you look means nothing to me.
Nothing?
Of course not, darling. How lucky we are we found out in time.
In time? In time? Oh, merciful heavens. What a joke. What a joke.
Charles, what's wrong? There's tears streaming down your face. Charles, you're hysterical. Now stop it.
What a joke. Stop it. Julia. Something you must know.
Yes, sir.
Tonight I committed a murder.
Murder? What are you talking about?
I killed Robert.
Killed Robert? Oh, out of your mind. You don't know what you're saying.
But is it true? I went to his apartment and we quarreled and I killed him.
Oh, no.
You told me a moment ago that you loved me. Do you still love me?
Yes, Charles.
And tell me what to do, Julie. Help me. I can't think. I don't know where to turn, but what can I do, Julie? What can I do?
Now pull yourself together, Charles. This may not be as hopeless as you think.
Why?
Was Robert alone in the apartment when you called?
Yes.
Were you seen entering or leaving?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, his apartment is on the second floor. I walked up and down.
What time did you get there?
Shortly before midnight.
And what did you do before that?
Went to a movie.
Movie? How long did you stay there?
Oh, only about 20 minutes.
Do you have the ticket stub?
Huh? Yes, here it is.
Charles, do you realize what this means? They may never find out about you.
Never find out?
That's right. They won't suspect you since they can't know your motive. No one saw you enter or leave, and you have an excellent alibi.
Motive? Alibi, Julie? Do you realize what we are doing? We are talking of this as if we planned this crime, as though we were criminals. But I committed a crime, yes, but I'm no criminal. I didn't mean to do it.
I know, darling, I know. You must think of your own life now. Oh, and mine.
Yes, Julia. Oh, I see what you mean. I'm not a criminal, but I must play the role of a criminal now. A subtler, clever criminal who is cunning enough to escape punishment. Can I do it? Can I do it, Julia?
Charles, listen to me. We must find out how much the police know. If it's hopeless and they have found out about you, then it would be best to give yourself up. But let's not make any decisions until we know.
But how can we know?
Did Robert expect anyone tonight?
Yes, George Galvin phoned while I was there. He said he'd be up in about 20 minutes.
Then the body must have been discovered by now.
Yes, I'm sure the police must be there by this time.
I think that I'll go to Robert's apartment.
No, Julie, no. I don't want you to become involved.
I'm already involved. If it weren't for me, this horrible thing would never have happened. The least I can do is to help you now.
But Julie...
Promise me you'll not leave this apartment, Charles.
All right.
I won't be long.
Julie.
Yes.
If something happens, if something goes wrong and is separated before you return, I want you to know that I don't know what to say, Julie.
You don't have to say it, darling. I know what you mean. Goodbye.
Goodbye. A criminal. I have to think like one, to act like one, have to be one. What question would they ask?
Whoever you were 12 o'clock. o'clock midnight of November 28th.
I was in a movie. He is the stub. Oh, no. No, they can see immediately that I'm lying. My voice must not tremble. I shouldn't be so quick with the answer.
Remember, you were 12 midnight of November 28th.
Where was I? Let me see. Well, I left the theater and I went to a movie. It was a very amusing picture. Very amusing.
Can you prove what you say?
Prove? Well, I don't know. It would be difficult. I may have to take it stuff somewhere. Yes, here. Let me show it to you. Here it is.
Did you ever quarrel with Robert Langwell?
Quarrel? We were friends. We played in many shows together. We were on the best of terms.
That's all, Mr. Luther. You may leave now.
Yes. I can, Pete. It is possible. I can escape punishment.
Police. Can it be the police? Maybe it is Julie.
Good evening, Charles.
George Gill.
I know it's rather late for an unexpected visit.
Yes, it is.
But this is important, Charles. A matter of life and death, you might say.
What do you mean?
Have you a cigarette?
Huh? Yes, here.
Thanks. What's the matter, Charles? Your hand's trembling.
It's nothing.
You don't seem to be your usual self this evening. No quips, no jokes. What's wrong?
I don't always feel like joking.
Yes, Charles. It's strange about human nature, isn't it? Who would have ever dreamed that tonight, a few minutes before midnight, you entered Robert Langwell's apartment, quarreled with him over Julie, and choked him to death?
What are you talking about?
You're an excellent actor, Charles. But you're wasting your talents on me. Save them for the footlights. Or the police.
Police? Will you please tell me what all this is about?
Still acting, huh? Now look, Charles. You killed Robert shortly before midnight tonight.
You are mistaken. I was in a movie at that time.
So that's your alibi. Very clever. No, Charles, either we discuss terms now or I go to the police.
Wait. How did you find out?
That is my secret.
What do you want?
Money. All you have on hand. All you can dig up.
All right. Come with me. I have some money in the bedroom.
All right. Just a moment.
What is the business?
Yes.
Why?
I'm taking no chances. Let's go.
All right.
Well, where's the money? Charles, stand back or I'll fire. Stand back.
No!
Let go of my hand. Let go.
I'll twist it. I'll twist it till the gun points to your head. Dead.
Charles, let go of my hand. You don't know what you're doing.
Go on. Fire now. The bullet will enter your brain. Fire.
Charles.
Fire.
Charles, don't.
I'll make you fire. I'll squeeze your finger.
Charles, let go.
Go on.
This is all a joke.
I'll make you.
Stop it, Charles.
Just a second.
Charles. Darling. Tell him there's nothing more to worry about. Everything's all right now. We can be married and go on living and never fear anything.
What makes you say that?
Darling, you didn't commit a crime at all.
What do you mean?
Robert's alive.
Alive?
Yes, he's downstairs now paying the taxi.
Robert? Is he alive?
Yes. I spoke to him about the marriage, and he was wonderful about the whole thing. Darling, aren't you happy? Our worries are all over. You can smile and be gay. That must be Robert now.
Hello, Charles.
Robert. I thought you were...
Well, I'm not.
But how did you...
You see, I fainted. George Galvin came in and brought me to.
George Galvin. Did you tell George Galvin what happened?
Yes.
I did. Look here, Charles. As I told Julie, I'm willing to forget the whole thing if you are.
Forget?
Yes. It might have ended tragically, you know, but thinking it over, I realize I'm as much to blame as you are. So if you're willing to shake hands.
Shake hands?
Dear, now, darling, there's nothing more to worry about. I feel so happy I could... Charles, what's the matter with you?
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Gentlemen of the jury, I became a criminal. Well, because I thought I had committed a crime, and I had to think like a criminal. My motives were those of all men. I wanted happiness and wanted marriage to the woman I loved. What would you have done in my place?
I could place him. Well, it must be wonderful to have a sense of humor, but I don't think Charlie feels much like laughing. Do you? We'll pay a return visit to the inner sanctum and its fun-loving host, Raymond, soon, but don't go, please. Not until we drop in at the green room, where the players are rehearsing our next performance in the mystery playhouse. Come with me, please. Come, come.
Change the dressings at midnight and again in the morning, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Well, doctor, what did you find? Will I be blind? Is it very bad?
Now, take it easy, Mr. Denton. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing at all.
You're sure? You aren't just saying that.
I'm quite sure.
Valerie, did you hear that? I'm not going to be blind. Valerie, where are you?
Right here, darling.
Did you hear? I won't be blind. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, darling, it's marvelous.
You don't sound very excited. Valerie, don't you realize I'm going to see again?
She doesn't sound excited because I don't want you to be excited, Mr. Denton. You've got to relax. Try to sleep.
Sleep? With this ungodly pain? My eyes feel as though they were on fire.
That will stop as soon as the opiate I gave you takes hold. You'll be comfortable, I'm sure. Now, good night.
You're going now, Doctor?
Yes, I'll look in on your husband in the morning.
Stephen.
Yes, Valerie?
Do you mind if I step out into the corridor for a moment?
But you promised not to leave me. I'm afraid, Valerie. Everything's so dark,
The nurse will be here, dear, if you want anything. I just want to ask Dr. Wade some questions.
Questions? But he's already told us.
Yes, Stephen, I know. But I'd like to find out about the treatment and how I'm to take care of you when we get you home, you know. Just little things.
All right. But hurry back. I want you near me.
I will, dear.
Good night, Mr. Denton.
Good night, Doctor. And thank you.
You're quite welcome. After you, Mrs. Denton.
Thank you.
I suggest we step into the consultation room across the hall. We'll have more privacy.
All right.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a long time, Valerie.
Yes, Paul, it has.
Almost 10 years, isn't it?
About that.
strange that you should have called me, of all people, to treat your husband's eyes?
Oh, I was panicky, Paul. I didn't know what to do. It all happened so suddenly. Stephen was working in his laboratory at the house when suddenly I heard a violent explosion. I ran in and found him clutching his eyes and screaming, "I'm blind." First thing I thought of was an ambulance. Then you...
Why didn't you think of me 10 years ago?
That's not fair, Paul.
Was it fair to turn your back on me and then to marry a man almost twice your age?
Paul, please, why bring up ancient history?
It isn't ancient history to me. I've never forgotten you.
Paul, about Stephen's eyes.
What about them?
I have a feeling that you weren't telling him the truth.
You're right.
Oh, you mean he's not going to regain his sight? He's going to be blind? Oh, Paul.
You don't expect me to be terribly concerned, do you, Valerie? After all, he did take you away from me.
Don't be vindictive, Paul. It wasn't Stephen's fault. He didn't even know of your existence.
And you never told him that we were on the point of being married?
No, never.
It's rather ironic that we should meet again at the bedside of my rival, your husband, a man who may forever walk in darkness.
Don't say that, Paul. It's horrible.
But unfortunately true. A moment ago, you told me not to be vindictive. I'm not, really. But if I were, I could have my fill of vengeance if I told him about us. And then told him that he'll be blind forever.
You wouldn't, Paul.
Or I might take another form of revenge. I could tell you that an operation is called for. A very delicate operation.
Are you trying to say that there might be a chance?
Yes. But supposing I refuse to perform the operation?
Paul, you're joking. You can't mean that.
Perhaps not. But you call me vindictive. Suppose I operate and my scalpel slips. What if he dies?
That would be murder. You're not a murderer, Paul. You wouldn't risk your professional reputation. Why must you torment me this way?
You really love him, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Then forget the things that I've been saying. I want you to think of me as a friend. I want you to trust me.
I do trust you, Paul.
Thank you. Now as to the possibility of surgery. Here is the situation. The transparent film over your husband's eyes, the corneas, were burned and torn by the explosion. They've been so damaged that blindness will result, even though the eyes heal.
But you think an operation would cure that?
Possibly, although it's a very delicate job. The injured cornea must be peeled away and replaced by a fresh, healthy one.
Where can you get healthy corneas?
From the eyes of the dead.
Oh.
It isn't quite as horrible as it sounds, Valerie. You know, dying people often will their eyes for just this purpose. We maintain what we call a corneal bank. It's much the same as a blood bank, only but there's this difference. Corneal tissue can't be stored more than 48 hours. It must be fresh, or it's no good.
You have some available in the bank?
No, that's the trouble. I'm afraid we haven't.
But there's got to be some, Paul.
I don't know where, Valerie. Unless...
Unless what?
I was just thinking. Last night, one of the interns asked me to look at a charity case that puzzled him. The patient is a Hindu or a Persian named Chandra. He lives in a dirty little shack near the waterfront.
Yes, Paul?
I stopped by and examined him. I found an incurable condition. There's no way to save him. He won't live more than a day or two. But his eyes are healthy.
You mean you think he might...
I don't know. You'd have to have his consent, of course.
Take me to him, Paul. I'm sure I can make him understand.
Oh, it may not be so easy, Valerie. He's a strange person. A mystic and a spiritualist.
Let me try. Just take me to him.
All right. We can go there now.
Doesn't the doctor sound familiar to you? Huh? That's right. It's Boris Karloff, up to his old tricks. I think it might amuse you to be on hand for our next performance, when we present Mr. Karloff and Creeps by Night. This is Peter Lorre closing the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. Good night. Sleep tight.
Armed Forces Radio Service.
Sanctum, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 10th of June, 1944 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.